This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Oh, Latif, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't intend to begin a networking group, but I started networking and I discovered people were just throwing their business cards at me. They were all at the wrong time.
Yeah,
they were in the wrong location.
Right.
And quite honestly, I started my own group partly out of pure selfishness. I wanted it to be near my house. I wanted to be when my babysitter was available. And I wanted to have better conversations because I'm kind of a sucker for good conversation. And these other networking events, I was having crappy conversations.
Right.
And I literally had one moment where a young man threw his business card at my chest and it landed on me and it dropped to the ground. And in that moment, I thought, I'm going to change the face of modern networking. No one should be treated like this. So
nice.
I created a space where people got to know each other first and then asked for specific business support second.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi there, I'm Mia Tor, and I'm the co-founder of Authentic Networker, which is an international business networking community based on the premise of beginning every interaction with genuine, human, curious conversations. We help business owners all over the world to forge better business relationships and to grow their impact and their influence through networking.
So thanks. I appreciate coming on the podcast. I know you're extremely busy. I know a lot of people that do a lot of Zoom networking, but you probably, and you have children and a family and you have your supportive husband in the background, but you're busy, right? I mean, you're crazy. So I appreciate coming on and spending the time doing this.
Well, thanks for the adult conversation. It's nice to have a break from the chaos and just have a one-to-one conversation instead of a 1-to-200 conversation, you know?
Now you have two little kids?
I have three.
Three? How old are they?
Three children. They are 11, 9, and 4.
Oh, so you're on the, so mine are 14, 16, and 19.
Wow.
So they're, you know, leave me alone, daddy. What are you making noise for? You know, and, but your kids need attention.
Mm-hmm. And
my
more so than ever, I think that they're really feeling the effects of having been on their own. So they're needing more from me than they used to.
Well, especially the four-year-old. So he or she's not going on Zoom with her classes, right? So
yes, she's a hurricane, that one.
Yeah.
She's the firecracker in the house.
I'm sure. Well, parenting is the best thing, you know, when it ever happens to you. You have kids and you don't think you can have another kid because your heart's so full of the first kid, and then you have another kid and it just
absolutely
keeps filling up. So yeah, best time of my life. But now I'll promise you this, when they get to be older, they don't want anything to do with you. So
are they still your babies though?
Oh, for sure.
Of course, right?
And they still need you. as much as they complain about they want to be independent. And then they're like, Daddy, I need your help with this. I'm like, I thought you wanted to be independent. You want to be on your own. So they don't, they always come back and they need you. And now that it's, you know, look, my son's 19, he's 6'2". He helps me with things that I can't do anymore around the house. So
that's why we have them.
What did you say?
That's why we have them. So that they can reach the top shelf for us.
I told them that. And also they have to take care of me when I'm old and have dementia. They can, you know, they make the money. That's my retirement plan. They're going to make the money and then take care of me. Can't be rich as a lawyer anymore. So, all right. So I want to talk about your business, but I also want to talk a little bit about your background. I know you were in, you had said in, was it like corporate branding, education, corporate training?
I have a very unusual career background, more so than most. And I'll tell mine and my husband's a little bit because they combined to form our business.
Okay.
But I took my degree was in education. And the reason I have an education degree is because I grew up in a music school. So I grew up the child of a mad entrepreneur. And he had started a music school back in the 60s with one student. And over time, with nothing more than a high school education, he even taught himself English when he came here.
Okay.
He grew it into the largest private music school in Canada. So we have 2,700 students.
Wow.
In one location.
Most schools are local little businesses, right?
Yeah.
Especially here around me. Yeah. Wow. That's big.
And I spent my entire childhood being indoctrinated really about entrepreneurship and why I should run my own business. And I started working for my dad at age 5 or 6, stuffing envelopes, you know, and cleaning instruments and watching a business run from the back end. So I think I was always very entrepreneurial, even from the start.
Okay.
And thinking I was going to take over the music school, I went into education and education management.
Yeah, it makes sense,
Instead of teaching, though, I didn't enjoy the school system. So instead of teaching, I moved into curriculum design for museums and parks. And so what I did with that was I created curriculum and museum exhibits, for example, for the Vancouver Aquarium and for Stanley Park in Vancouver.
That would like teach people about the exhibit?
Well, basically what would happen is the organization, often large organizations, would say, here is the message we're trying to get out to the public. And it was often a very boring science message or a conservation message.
Right.
We want to teach people about not polluting in storm drains. You know, it's very boring things.
Right.
And it was my job to turn those into very emotionally engaging experiences.
Right. Because that's when people want to come.
Because that's what people want.
Right,
they don't want to engage with the straight science. You want to take something that is story-based, that is emotionally engaging, that's immersive, that they can touch and feel and see, and then change their behavior.
Yeah. Okay.
So
makes sense.
Over years doing that, I taught over 50,000 people. You know, I designed some exhibits. I spoke at a lot of conferences. I met my husband there.
Okay.
And he took the same type of experience into academia, where he raised literally hundreds of millions of dollars of funding for universities. So they do the same thing. They take all these stakeholders, really boring science. You can picture a researcher saying,
he would take the
and weave it into stories of people's lives changing and create a case for research funding.
Of course.
And in one case,
because if you're not moved, you're not going to donate. I mean, if you're moved by it, right? Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
And he did one particular project in which he told a story that was so compelling that it brought in the single largest research grant that the university ever received. It was $114 million.
Wow.
Based on some of the
most
boring.
What university? In Toronto?
In Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we began our business.
Wait, but before you got to back up a second, what happened to your dad's music
school? My dad's music school.
Yeah.
Well, the funniest thing is that he hung on to it until last year. He's 86.
Wow.
And he just decided that it was his baby. He didn't end up succession planning. And
he never sold it to any of the instructors or anybody else.
He never passed it to me. And I came back to Toronto from Vancouver, in fact, to take over the music school. And I learned a thing or two about old world entrepreneurs. You know, I really learned that if you build something from the ground up, it's very hard to let go.
That's one of the problems, right? Yeah.
It's difficult with family businesses, especially
very much so.
It introduces a parent-child dynamic, you know, and I think that I would have I would have taken over my dad's business out of obligation, but not out of passion.
Right.
And I think in the end,
the wrong reason, probably.
Yeah. And in the end, he ended up, he got sick. He had an aortic aneurysm, from which he has recovered, thank goodness. Oh, but well, in that moment, good. I think he realized this business is becoming a liability. I'm not going to pass it on. I'm just going to close it.
And he closed it down.
He closed it down.
Before the pandemic.
It was before the pandemic. Can you imagine if I had inherited a massive music school and then to deal with COVID?
I know. There's a local dance studio the same way. It's a little girls' dance studio. My girls used to go there. The mom got older. Mm-hmm. She, I don't think she's married anymore, but she adopted this little girl from Korea who's now an adult, took over the business. They closed during COVID. They're never opening again. They said we can't open. And it's just sad.
It would have been a real challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a lot of lessons from that family business about what I wanted for my own business. You know, I think I watched a lot of the amazing pieces my dad put into his business and I took those.
Right.
And I looked at a lot of the mistakes he made as well that are different in a digital environment. You know, I looked at the inventory, I looked at the brick and mortar business, and I looked at a business that's really, really caps the number of people who can come in.
Yeah, of course.
And then I decided to create something that was scalable, that was very different.
So when you were working for the museums and stuff, and the sign that was in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm. That was in Vancouver.
Okay. And Andy was there too?
Andy was there too.
Okay.
And we decided to move back here in part because of the family business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was sounds like recently, must have been a couple of years ago.
It was 7 years ago that we moved back.
Oh, okay. Seven years.
It was 7 years ago or 8 years ago now. And at the time, I was on maternity leave with the kids. So we had had our first two children. And on maternity leave, I decided to try my hand at business ownership. So at the time, I started with a network marketing business, which I think for a lot of people is their first side hustle.
Right.
Those of us who've been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, many of us start with our own brand.
Right.
And others, join a company like a network marketing company that's an easier way
to start. You can do from home, right? I mean, all those things fit with being a stay-at-home mom now.
Exactly.
Right.
And at the time, what I realized was all of the background that I had in community leadership and particularly in engaging people emotionally served me incredibly well growing a team and growing a business. And our business grew very fast. It grew like wildfire because of our expertise. So I started a blog, and that blog was called Authentic Networker. And the idea was how to build your side hustle without being a slimy business person and sliming on everybody. Right. What are the ways you can engage people in a more human way and bring them into permission-based follow-up?
Right.
Because all of our skills lend itself to that.
Yeah.
And so for the longest time, it was just a blog.
Oh, and it wasn't a group. Okay. So because you go to an event and you know the people that just don't have the skills, they're just vomiting all over you and they want to sell you their product, and which is fine. But, you know, you really want to teach people to, like, how can I help you meet people and how can you help me meet people? I don't know if you need legal services and I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that, and your personality really lends itself to this.
You think so?
Very much so. Because not only are you warm, but you are enthusiastic and you bring a personality to it. I think that engages people and gives people confidence. And I think that has a lot to do with it. So you started out, you were basically just posting articles and information and content.
It was a lead generator for me.
Okay.
What are my skills? What is the reason my business succeeds? I think it's a good thing for all of us to lean into our strengths. And I actually mapped them out. I thought if I'm going to start a business from scratch, outside of this network marketing company, what are the things I'm really good at? What are the things I love to do?
Right.
If I'm going to spend half my adult life working,
that's a good exercise everyone should go through.
So I mapped it all out and I said, here are the things I'm really good at. I'm fantastic at teaching people, at engaging people, at bringing out an organization's heart and soul through their stories, of getting people to take action on something. And in community leadership, all my volunteer work in my life has been on boards of directors and leading people. So I wove all of that into a business plan. And so to bring it full circle, the way it turned into a networking group came through a job loss. And it was my husband working at the university, bringing in some of the largest funding they'd ever received. And then they restructured and they packaged him out. And it happened right before Christmas. And so he came home one day with three little kids.
Unexpectedly?
Unexpectedly.
Oof.
It was a shock.
Merry Christmas.
So I don't know how many of your listeners have been through that, but it's traumatizing.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Suddenly it throws everything into question. You think, well, do I want to go back to that environment? What did I do
again,
wrong?
Right? Yeah.
There's grief, there's rage, there's frustration.
Sure.
And so we took a good solid week to wail and gnash our teeth.
That's it. You took a solid week.
Well, just to dwell there. And then we thought, you know what? We have got this blog and this business plan sitting in a drawer. We have a little package right now, a little financial package and a little bit of time. Let's really engage more business owners with this idea of how to become better at building business relationships through storytelling and community leadership.
Right, right, sure. But there were already these, what are the other ones? Like BNI, right? They're up by you. And what's the other one? LaTip?
Oh, LaTip, there's a lot.
Yeah.
And we didn't intend to begin a networking group, but I started networking and I discovered people were just throwing their business cards at me. They were all at the wrong time.
Yeah,
they were in the wrong
skills,
location.
Right.
And quite honestly, I started my own group partly out of pure selfishness. I wanted it to be near my house. I wanted to be when my babysitter was available. And I wanted to have better conversations because I'm kind of a sucker for good conversation. And these other networking events, I was having crappy conversations. And I literally had one moment where a young man threw his business card at my chest and it landed on me and it dropped to the ground. And in that moment, I thought, I'm going to change the face of modern networking. No one should be treated like this. So I created a space where people got to know each other first and then asked for specific business support second. And we started as a little local group and it grew like wildfire. Within our first year, we had 1,200 members. And then we started getting copycats. People started copying our language and copying our meetup group. And
there was meetup then?
There was meetup then.
Okay. Because it's hard to promote those things without a platform, right?
Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah.
And meetup was a good platform for us. And some people's meetup groups fall flat, but this one just grew and grew and grew, and it brought in more and more people. It was a concept that really worked.
Right.
To the point where people started copying us. And
well,
so you would understand this as a lawyer. We thought, okay, do we serve them with a cease and desist order or do we monetize
this? No, it shows you're doing something that people enjoy and people like and people resonate with.
Yep.
Yeah.
So being a trainer and a curriculum developer, I just thought, well, let's show people how we did it. And so we created a program to show and teach people how to build a networking group from scratch in service of your primary business. And the unintended effect of that was that the network started growing and growing into more cities. And so what we were doing was helping the organizers who were business owners like you, like me, just growing their thing, trying to grow their local influence. But we would show them, here's how to create a networking group. Here's how to host an event. Here's how to hold space for, a group of this magnitude. And here's how to use it to generate more leads for your primary business in a way that's ethical, in a way that grows your influence. And that took off. So it's been 3 years. Just three
That's
years
it.
Since
it's
our
only been
first
three
event.
Years?
3 years and 3 months.
My God, if you told me it's been 10 years, I would be like, well, that makes sense.
3 years. We're in 102 cities or 103 cities, about 30,000 members in 5 countries.
Wow.
In 3 years.
And it's all been, so what was the, once you, so the first groups were local, obviously, they must have been in Toronto or within that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how did you start growing the footprint? I mean, was it organic? Like people started hearing about this, like me, I want to open one in San Francisco.
It was not organic. We have a business partner. His name is Jimmy Jays. He's in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
He had a program teaching business owners how to grow meetup groups based on their field. So if you were in fitness, health and fitness, here's how to start a health and fitness group.
Got it.
And I had taken his training.
But he didn't start Meetup. Is he one of the
He didn't start Meetup, but he was teaching business owners how to grow groups. So we already had an audience like this. And we built a collaboration. And we said, hey, we used some of your training to grow this amazing business networking group. What about if we were to partner with you and make a business networking specific program? And so Jimmy is just a wizard with webinars and Facebook ads, and he already had a really large following that had opted into this. And so we just use the best principles of collaboration, we created a joint venture. And we had this incredible process that worked in all of the training, and he had the right audience. And so we just paired them together.
Collaborated.
And here we are.
Now, you know who's very big on that? I met him through your event, Robin Elliott. Do you know mm-hmm. Robin?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does he know Jimmy?
I'm not sure.
Oh, because that's what he does. He coaches people on collaborative growth of their business and how to collaborate and ideas. And he's
that's
in Vancouver.
Amazing.
And I met him through your event.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Necessary in any joint venture. Yeah. I think that people don't think about what's required of a collaboration.
Right.
But this was a powerful one. And that became some of our training. You know, part of what we do now as well is networking skills training. So we're also business coaches. And so we've developed comprehensive training on people for people who are growing through meeting people in person or now online. Mm-hmm. But what are the ways that your business can get better traction without sliming on that other person?
Right.
Right. You described those people who show up and they just do the verbal diarrhea thing. And but, you know, networking is like that. And I think we can just all agree that networking is a bit awkward and cringy. Work together on making it less like that. It helps. But those people who lead with their sales pitch are often the loveliest people with the most passion and hustle for their business, and they're just lacking some skills.
Right.
And we write them off so fast.
Yeah. They just need some guidance and some training, right?
Yeah. So it's a two-sided coin. One of them is to do what you need to do with your own messaging to avoid being that person and learning how to listen and ask questions and develop rapport. But the other side of that coin is having some grace for the people who lead with their sales pitch. Because I think that when we're networking, if I were to write off everyone who came to me sales first, my network would be a lot smaller. But seeing beyond their lack of skill and really getting into a deeper conversation without worrying that they're trying to prospect me and being okay with that. There's kind of two sides of the coin there.
Well, I think it's important when I notice, because I go on. So I met you through Jen Gilman's group. You popped on one day to say hello.
Yes.
And I was like, I got to meet Mia. You seem to have a personality for this. And then I've met, and I go to groups all over the country. Some of them are around the world. And I think it's very important. You set rules, expectations of everybody. So then I think it brings people's guards down and says, oh, good. Mia just said that. Now I know people aren't just going to solicit me for whatever it is that they're selling. And I think that's important. People definitely need some training. I don't think they do it intentionally, right? I think they just don't realize what they're doing. They're nervous maybe.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable, and most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Very nervous.
They're nervous and they love their business.
Yeah.
They see the power their business has to change lives, and they can't understand why people don't get it.
Right.
And then something like COVID hits, and then they're under pressure to try a little harder. And the only thing they know how to do is to say the same thing more times.
Right? Yeah.
So some of it is knowing what you don't know and understanding that there are simple ways to restructure that. And what you're saying as well is that the group often makes a difference. And Something that's really important to me is developing a powerful group culture. And I've done a lot of research from the community leadership side of things. Mm-hmm. When you're building a community, right. How do you create a community, in my case, that is based on this principle? And I stand for something. The thing I stand for is honoring the human beings who have shown up to share our businesses and treating them as a human being first, and then supporting each other rather than competing with each other, right? And so figuring out how to bring each other support rather than just selling directly to each other. And we've worked all of that community culture building into our rules, into our boundaries, into our structure. It's very deliberate.
Right.
And people show up and they drop their guard because they know that the expectations are clear.
Right. Well, but you're giving good training to the people that run your groups, mm-hmm. run your chapters, right?
Of course. So they
know what to
do. A lot of what makes networking awkward for us is when the expectations are not clear. You don't know when to sell. You don't know, or if it's a social group, you don't know when to bring up your business. There's this weird point between social and business where it feels like you're at a high school dance. You know, you do the dance, you wonder, you dance around the subject.
Do I say something now? I want to say about my business. I don't want to leave that out.
It's all business.
Right.
And you're neglecting the human side, the social side. And so the guard is up.
Yeah.
And in those business networks that do well are very clear on what we're here to do. So we're either here where pitching is okay and it's encouraged and you have a chance to do that, then we all understand the rules we're playing by. And it's not uncomfortable to pitch in those environments.
I think the best networking events I've ever been to are events where I never talked about or barely talked about what I do. I just showed my interest in people and I want to know. Because you can meet outside the event anyway. You're probably going to do that. That's really where the networking goes on.
It's true.
You know?
Well, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk says that the best, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said that the most powerful business isn't done in a boardroom. It's done over a plate of buffalo wings.
Right. You know,
it's when we really agree to support each other as human beings first.
Right.
This gets done. It's not the handshake at the business table. It's the handshake at the bar or the restaurant or the place where we're getting to know each other. And that's something that we've really brought into our networking.
So let's talk about the business structure, right? So somebody wants to start a chapter, let's say, because we were talking, there's really not many in New Jersey, maybe one or two cooking in the hot pot, so to speak. But what does the business structure look like, the model, in terms of if somebody wants to run a group, get involved with a group, what does it look like and how do they do it and so forth?
Sure. So talking about the networking groups specifically, we do have a program for that. So
we will go back to that one day, right? We'll be able to see each other again in person and meet people. Maybe the handshake will be gone, but you can at least bump elbows or something.
You know, funny you should say that because I was putting together a new training. I had a launch this week for our coaching program. And whenever I talk about networking in the past, I've looked for stock photos of people shaking hands. And now I looked at stock photos of people shaking hands and I physically recoiled from my
heart. Of course.
I thought, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. There's got to be a new way we define networking. So you're right. I hope we're meeting in person. And at the same time, I think we all understand that something will have permanently shifted.
Yeah.
And as long as we can hope that we're adaptable enough to pivot to whatever that is.
Of course.
I think we'll be okay.
I mean, I hope that you still do at least quarterly or monthly or whatever Zoom things, because then I can't see you and a lot of people that I know now across the country.
Well,
unless you're going to fly into Jersey once a year to an event, but can't do that to 103 chapters. So,
well, the beautiful thing about Zoom is it's brought our entire network together to create this really powerful culture that I think is going to ripple back into the in-person meetings.
Isn't that the ironic thing?
That's ironic, isn't
it? Yeah. We're all separated and then we're closer together.
Absolutely. We will always continue those online meetings, as I'm sure so many businesses and so many of you listening are going to have that piece of your business that is permanently improved or permanently changed because of what we've discovered is possible over Zoom.
Right, right.
So there's that piece.
Right.
But in terms of starting a local group, we've learned something recently, and that is that when you start something like a networking group, we can just hand you a networking group and slap a title on you and call you an organizer, and it puts you into this position of leadership. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have great success with it.
So
what we've been doing is pairing training with that on networking and leadership skills.
Right.
So the people who come into our program now, they do an authentic networking skills program with us in which we show you exactly what it means to be the leader of a networking group, how to network properly, how to not just throw your business card at different people, but to really be a good networker. And then based on that, now here is how to grow a group. So a lot of what we do in terms of group creation, it's amazing. It's turnkey. So we create the group with you. We do all of the work behind the scenes. So you don't need the tech part of building a group, but we show you how to build it, how to create it, how to promote it. There's all the language, there's all the templates, there's all the emails. You know, it's very, very, very step by step. And then the work for the organizers is to show up as a leader within that community. So it's part event promotion. The people who do really well with it are the people often who have a, you know, an assistant or who have the skill set in being able to really regularly promote events.
Right.
Then at that event themselves, very quickly, you start to grow your influence. It's amazing when you can say, even a small group that's starting up that might have 100 or 200 members.
That's a small group?
Oh, those are little groups. We have some groups that have 3,000.
Wow.
And some groups are big. Wow. But if you were to say, you know, I'm your local, you show up at a chamber of commerce and, you know, oh yeah, I'm the local realtor versus, you know, I'm a local realtor and I have a networking group for 100 people, it immediately increases some part of your credibility.
Oh, for sure. People's interest in meeting you.
And people's interest.
Yeah.
And it allows you to give back. I think so many of us are concerned about this hidden agenda we have with business, right?
It's a sales agenda.
It is a sales agenda. And it's important. Yeah. We need this to put food on the table for our families. We have to have this agenda. But if you're adding value, it allows you to be more transparent with your agenda and not feel like that slimy person. Right. So you're creating value, you're creating impact, you're creating influence. You're giving back to all these business owners who are showing up because you're helping them get results. You're helping them grow their business. And what we start to see is the steady stream of referrals that come into you through your group. And then the doors it opens to you now that you're suddenly, you're like an instant influencer. So all of a sudden you find yourself being invited to attend other events or speak at other events. And so there's this really cool secondary leadership that grows out of it.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the problem with sales is people have this impression that sales is something that, like, somebody's going to trick you into doing something or buying something you don't want or don't need. That's not really what sales is, but it's just the way people feel. It's like going to a used car lot, you know? And I think that it's not really what it is, but I think people, they just need some guidance, like you said. I think they just need to realize that you can do things that make you comfortable and not be so, what's the word? You know, when you're like, what's the word? Like you're over the top, you're doing too much for people, right? You're just trying too hard.
Yes.
You know, I think that's what's interesting about your organization, because it seems to be that people are attracted to the whole message that you're putting out. I think that's because I'll tell you something, I probably do, let's put one-on-ones aside, right? Probably 8 to 10 networking meetings a week.
Wow.
I was looking at my calendar. Yeah.
Wow.
But yours is by far the largest.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. It wasn't.
It's a big one.
it's just an observation.
Yeah, it's a big one. Well, we have a lot of members.
Yeah, that's true. We got a lot to pull from.
You know, we really defined who we want to reach through this network. And that was me sitting down doing an ideal client exercise one day and saying, who do I want to work with? Who do I love working with? Who do I not want to waste my time with?
Right.
But I mean, let's be honest, the group is called Authentic Networkers. So the people who are profit driven are probably not going to show up at a group called Authentic Networkers. Like the people who show up tend to be people who have self-selected because they have a passion.
Right.
Because their business has some kind of gift that changes people's lives and they really want their value to be known. And so what our promise is creating an event where you can express that and you can ask for connections and you can really bring people into your business in a way that feels like you're honoring rather than just selling to everybody. And so there's more of that open conversation in our group because people read that description before opting in, right? If they're there to make a quick buck, They're probably not going to go to a networking event where they have to waste time
they
getting to
build relationships. Like, what's with that? What would I do that for?
So yeah. Those people are off at some different networking event.
Right.
And they still show up. I mean, of course, every networking event has got people that are not quite the right fit for the culture.
Right.
But what we have in our group, the experience I've had anyway, is that in a lot of networking events, I find people will write me off right away if I'm not a client for them, if I'm not a prospect.
Right.
But in this group, people will entertain your follow-ups, even if you're not a direct prospect. One of the things that is at the core of our teaching is that there's five different networking connections. It's not just prospects.
Right.
We are networking for collaborators. We are networking for referral partners. So We're networking for supporters.
Right.
Suppliers and influencers.
Right.
And so
that's one of the core things, of networking, or else it would just be called sales.
Well, exactly. It fills in the foundations in your business. It allows you to reach more people. It allows you to leverage your connections. So, you know, if you were just looking for clients, you might get one out of an event if you're lucky.
Right.
But if you reach out to an influencer and you get a, you know, like you, I get a spot on your podcast, right?
Yeah,
reach absolutely. Out to these different people. How many more can I reach with the same event?
Right.
And it's a powerful shift for people. And
right.
It doesn't take much. It's a little change in your language. It's a little change in your perspective. And people get great, great results. It grows businesses much faster that way.
So if someone wants to engage with you or with us or with the whole community, mm-hmm. whatever, we'll put, you know, links in the show notes and everything. But what do? They go to authenticnetworker.com. Is that your website? Not with an S.
They're actually both websites. So authenticnetworker.com will bring you to the site where you get the bigger picture of what Andy and I do in terms of our training, our programs, both for networkers and for networking leaders.
Right.
Or for corporate. We train a lot of corporations how they can play nice when they send their sales force out to go networking. And then
it's funny
also,
that people need, you wouldn't think that, right? People at corporations need training in networking.
Well, so much. Because I think otherwise you get churn.
Yeah.
Right. If you've got a financial services or real estate, and you're training a lot of people, but then they don't know how to go out into the world and share your business, there's reputational damage and there's a lot of turnover.
Of course, I have the first guest I had on the podcast, there's two episodes, it's two parts. His name's Jack Killian. He's 78 years old. He's been a friend of mine a long time. Now he's done a lot of things in his career, including investment management. He's helped start Rolling Stone magazine, all kinds of stuff. But he now only does, I'd never heard of Zoom before until he told me about it. And he does training for executives throughout the world on Zoom, teaching them how to network. He's got a website called networkallthetime.com. And I was like, I didn't realize like these people need
Fantastic.
Networking training. And apparently they do.
Fantastic. A lot of people need networking training. And networking training is the last thing they think they need. It's just a blind spot. It's a massive blind spot. It's not a pain point.
Right.
No one comes to me and says, I need networking training. They say, people are, you know, I'm not getting anything. I'm not meeting the right people. I don't have enough clients. The blind spot is networking training.
Well, I had somebody come up to me who I knew from high school. I hadn't seen her in years. And it was at an event, a local event when we could still meet people in person. And she said, you know, I've never been to these type of networking events. Like, what do I do? Now, I'm an idiot. I'm like, I didn't understand what to say to them. I'm like, what do you mean? What do? You go and you talk to people. Go get a drink at the bar. And then at the end of the event, she came up. She had this pile of business cards. She goes, well, what do I do now? I go, are you kidding me? So reach out to them. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to introduce you to two or three people that I know. They're some of the best networkers I know. And they will talk to you because I asked them to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I connected her with those three people.
Beautiful.
And she, I don't know what she's doing now. I don't see her on Zoom calls, but I'll probably see her out on the streets again when we get out. But a lot of it's giver's gain, you know, the go giver.
Yeah.
Helping people. Actually, he's coming on my podcast too.
That's cool.
That was a good one. But you don't just do networking events, right? Don't you do coaching and individual training and stuff?
We do coaching and training. So if we go back to those websites, the AuthenticNetworkerSingular.com provides some of the information on the coaching and training we did. So those follow-ups, for example, if you're drowning in a pile of business cards, I like to call that the pile of shame. We show people how to get follow-up systems into their business so that you're not wasting your time and energy networking. You need to be able to identify the right person, say the right thing to them, and then put it into systems so that you're not driving yourself crazy.
Right.
And we do a lot of training on that to just smooth out your networking funnel. The events themselves, you can find at AuthenticNetworkers.com. So if you go to AuthenticNetworkers with an S, You'll be brought to a map view of all of our groups around the world, where you can look on the map for your local group and then join as a member for free and see what events are coming up. So our online events are posted there. And in fact, if you only went to one website, if you just went to authenticnetworker.com, you'll see an events tab at the top, and that'll bring you to
the map view. Other one.
Yeah.
Got it. So it's free to join your groups?
As a member, yes. Yes.
So
as an organizer,
right?
As an organizer, a coaching client, those are our paid programs. But our member cost for most events is low cost or no cost. Yeah.
So it really just covers the cost of the event if there
usually
is a cost.
Usually just covers the cost of the event. Sometimes, and it's group to group, but sometimes an organizer may have a fancy venue. And, you know, so we of course, do not want our organizers to be out of pocket. So some of our events are paid. If it's a workshop, we do a lot of workshops, and those are, of course, paid. But for the most part, our online Zoom events and our virtual masterminds are all free, because we just think that it is important for people to be able to have access to a place where they can share their voice, meet people, and connect.
But
the way that it works for us as business owners, of course, is that those people who engage with our brand, if they want to move into leadership, that's a paid program. If they want to work into coaching with us to develop their client base by doing networking better, those are paid programs also.
Wow. So I thought, so there's no profit model, there's no monetization model of the membership. It's just the leaders of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
They pay an annual fee?
The leaders of the chapter. So they are on a subscription program with us.
Okay. Yeah. So they're paying something.
So they're paying something.
What is the fee if somebody wants to know? Does it depend on the group? Is it all kinds of different variables?
It has adjusted recently. So I would check in with me for current pricing, because the Jimmy Jays, who is our organizer in BC, our co-founder, he takes on all of the onboarding for networking leaders.
Got it. So people can just inquire with you.
Yeah. So there's an upfront cost for the training, and then there's a monthly cost per month. Yeah.
Okay. And then you also make money doing individual training and coaching.
Well, the bulk of the money that I make comes through coaching and training programs. So I teach master classes on things like targeting your ideal client, telling your business story, developing your business pitch, creating follow-up systems that work, developing referral programs. So I have got private and group coaching that come out of that. And here's a fascinating twist on a business model, is that all of our organizers are eligible to be affiliates for our programs. So if they love what they do, they are welcome to share our programs with as many people as they like as affiliates. And so we have got 100 affiliates across the world that help us grow, because we have a whole membership who's networking. If they want to network better, they can come to our trainings.
Okay. But so they bring in people into the program. They make some money doing that.
Yep.
Like a network marketing, affiliate marketing type of program.
It's different from network marketing, but it's leveraged similarly. Right. It's leveraged in the way that we have this beautiful audience who has a particular need, and that need is a skill set. And we happen to teach to that skill set very well. So through those organizers, if they have people who are struggling with networking, they can bring them to our programs. And they can either just bring them out of the goodness of their heart, or they can become affiliates and have a secondary stream of income from that, because their audiences are really tailored to our training.
So it really is a go-giver, giver's gain model you have.
Yeah.
That's impressive, because a lot of people would say, you know, we have 27,000 members. I want to monetize all those members. And that's not. Now, do you get sponsorships, sell anything to raise any other kind of capital for the organization, because you
right
have 27,000 people
to market? Right now, it's all subscriptions and coaching and masterclasses. But we have definitely talked about sponsorship a lot. We've had some interest in sponsorship. And so the question is just really, what happens after COVID? How does networking change?
Right.
And how do we lean into larger and larger sponsorships? Our business is really, it's growing very, very rapidly. So, we're working on what does the next stage of things like affiliate partners look like? We have a lot of people who've got a lot of interest in our list. So, at what point do we begin to open up this audience to more people in a way that monetizes? And so, of course, these are the exciting things when you've got a business in growth. It's just figuring out which step comes next.
Well, I got some ideas for you when we finish this up.
Fantastic. So,
if you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts,
on Amazon Music and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.